Welcome, everybody, and happy Monday, one and all. It's a scorcher out there again. Hope you are hydrating as Wisconsin heats up today. We have a pretty hot show for all of you as well. Speaking of the heat, I'm Maggie Dawn, of course, your host. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got to start out with the governor's race watch because it seems to change every day. So very exciting. And it matters to each and every one of us. One of the things that I want us to keep our collective eyeball on is the old rewriting of history, the rewriting of voting records, the rewriting of policy positions as candidates enter the race. It needs to get called off on both the left and the right. We're going to do a bit about that today on the show. I've got two great guests with me. Matt Rothschild, of course, the host of Wisconsin Forward. He'll be with me for the first hour. And Dan Schaefer, our political editor, will join Matt and I for the first half hour to bring us all up to speed. And then Matt and I are going to go on in on one particular potential candidate for governor who seems to be readying his stump speech, and it is riddled with lies, half-truths, and misdirections. We'll break that all down for you at 4:30. At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the CEO of Mueller Communications. Her name is Lori Richards. She's a longtime friend of mine. I was talking to Lori the other day about the status of women in leadership, specifically the C-suite, specifically in the private sector, and the fact that Donald Trump's made-up emergency about should we have more people of differing backgrounds in leadership positions, answer yes, has turned into a slow-moving purge of black and brown folks and women out of C-suites across the country. What that means for you and your family, your daughters, in fact, what that means for your wages here in the state of Wisconsin, Lori and I will discuss in that 5 o'clock hour. But welcome, Matt. It's great to have you back on the show. Lovely
always
to
a pleasure.
See you.
Always
and welcome. And welcome, Dan.
Hey, Maggie, thanks so much for having me. Always a treat to join you here on the Maggie Dawn Show in the afternoon.
Well, I have to say, I'll start with you, Dan. I was a little bit relieved to hear from our former Governor Walker that he will not be tossing his hat into the ring. Let's hear a little bit of sound from our former Governor Scott Walker about his focus elsewhere than a third, fourth, or whatever numbered run it would be for the governorship. Here's Scott Walker.
I'm not going to be a candidate for governor in 2026. In fact, I'm going to continue my work as president of Young America's Foundation. If you'd like to learn more about what we do, go to yaf.org. And if you're a student, we'd love to have you sign up for one of our programs. So, as I mentioned, I'm not going to be a candidate, at least not next year. That doesn't mean I'll never run again. In fact, I'm actually a quarter century younger than Joe Biden. That means I've got plenty of time, and I don't need an auto pen. Looking ahead, though, Tonat and I will do everything we can at our home here in Wisconsin to ensure that we elect a common-sense conservative as governor in next year's election. I hope you do the same.
Oh, yes. There's our former governor getting in some cheap shots. I haven't looked up his salary at Young American Foundation, but I am certain, 100% certain, that it pays more than the governor's office. He's making quite a sweet penny doing that consulting business. Dan, your reactions to the former governor's announcement?
Yeah, so what was shorter then? Scott Walker's fake run for governor in 2025 or his actual run for president in 2015? Neither seems to have lasted particularly long. And I think Scott Walker, this time around, he's just doing this for the attention, right? Like, he never actually had any intention of running for governor. But, you know, so many people in the Wisconsin political media universe like to give some attention to Mr. Scott Walker. And he sure got some over the past few days following Tony Evers' announcement. But I never took any of those cryptic tweets about running again seriously, and you know, just spent, what was it, 3-4 days just you know, spinning their wheels about this. And there are many other candidates far more deserving of our attention.
Indeed. Matt, your reactions?
Well, it was ominous when he said at least not next year, so he's still wanting to run again. I mean, it is kind of an incurable virus when you get political power. You want to get it some more. But also, it was kind of a pathetic little video that he didn't even bother to do a take two on because he stumbled in the middle of it, just as an audio guy saw that and said, wow, man, why don't you 5 more minutes? Won't kill you. So he actually literally phoned it in and phoned it in badly.
Phoned it in badly, and not for nothing. The isthmus back in, let's see here, this was 2019, just as Scott Walker was announcing his new job with the Young America Foundation, reported that his predecessor in that role of leadership was earning slightly more than $1 million a year in total compensation. So nothing like an advocacy organization where the president is taking down a cool 7 figures. Ah, yes, Scott Walker, the working man. No, not so much. Not so much at all. Let's talk about some of these other candidates. Matt, there is a whole slew of Democrats that have half announced, are thinking about it. Who is really a bright spot that you think is going to bring some important perspectives to the Democratic primary, in your view?
Well, I think the two who have announced, or one is formally announced, Sarah Rodriguez, Lieutenant Governor, and David Crowley, Milwaukee County exec. Those are two good candidates with great resumes for the job, bring new perspectives to the job, and would make it interesting. I think it's going to be a tough battle. I love primaries. I love competitive primaries. This is going to be a really competitive one. I think there are other people who are going to join, but those two make for a good start.
Dan, boy, these competitive primaries really make me long for top five voting and where people can cross party lines so that we can hear from so much more of Wisconsin than just folks that are Democrats. Are you concerned at all, Dan, when you start to look at this primary field and there are certain to be more Democrats than County Executive Crowley and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who, by the way, will be joining this fine program tomorrow. Everyone mark your calendar. Not to be missed, that competitive primary may in fact push candidates more left because of this antiquated and frankly unfair way that we still operate primaries in this state.
Yeah, I do think it causes certain complications with that. But I do wonder if it is more of an ideological question of, you know, center versus left when it comes to Democrats here. I wonder if it's going to be a little bit of a regional question, too, because you talked about Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. You know, I think when I talk to people about potential candidates even before this and since the announcement last week, I think there are a lot of people in and around Milwaukee who have a really good opinion, really positive opinion of the county executive around here. But if you go to different parts of the state, I do wonder if people really know who he is and the work that he's been doing. So I wonder if part of this primary is like, okay, if David Crowley has certain support in Milwaukee, let's say, Sarah Rodriguez, she's from Waukesha County, might have some support there. We know there's going to be some candidates from the Madison area that are going to be announcing. Wouldn't be surprised to see a couple names even this week about that. I wonder, who's going to be able to have their message resonate in places like the Fox Valley, in places like Western Wisconsin? Is there going to be a regional component to this primary as it takes shape as well? Because I think in the early going here, it's a very Madison-Milwaukee heavy list that many of us have talked about.
Folks, that's Dan Schaefer, political editor here at Civic Media. We've got Matt Rothschild. They are my special guests in this first half hour, an hour discussing who's in, who's out, who's a maybe still on the fence for the governor's race in 2026. It is certainly going to be interesting contested primaries on both sides coming from both parties, a truly open race. Some would say a harbinger of what is to come for Democrats further down the line. Folks, if you want to get your 2 cents in on any of the candidates or maybe Will runs, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And I've got a specific question for all of you out there that are very progressive, that consider yourself very left. What do you think about trying to bring the party together? What do you think about that regional dynamic that Dan was just describing? Do you believe that we need a Democratic gubernatorial candidate going into the general election that can talk across Wisconsin's so-called regional divides, that can look to unite middle-class folks and people that have bosses and actually earn paychecks and don't have trust funds or buildings with their names on them, who can speak to the issues that are common for all of us, no matter where we're from in the state? Matt, your thoughts on that? Any concerns, again, given, you know, the very purplishness of Wisconsin and the need for whomever the Democratic candidate is to be able to pull from a wide base of support, including what I'm going to call good faith, more centrist conservatives?
Yeah, you know, I posted on Facebook today, just, you know, I'm going to be on Maggie's show, who do you want to run? And I did get several people saying we need someone who can appeal to folks in rural Wisconsin. So I think that is a solid point that both you and Dan are making. On the leftist question, I mean, I'm a leftist, so I'll cop to that. So I think it's possible to run a progressive Democrat in the Robert La Follette tradition who can appeal to people across the board on issues of, you know, who's running your life, the corporations have too much power, we all should have health care, kind of Bernie Sanders, AOC kind of stuff, and get people in the middle and get independents. So I think it's possible to win that way, too.
Is it possible to win that way? How do we craft that message? Such a hot topic. You want to get your thoughts in, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. So Scott Walker is out. Looking on the Republican side, who is in? And I think the two candidates so far that are definitely in, Bill Berrien, a former U.S. Navy SEAL, former supporter, and former is the interesting part here, of top five primary voting and ranked choice voting, used to belong to a group that advocated for those things here in the state of Wisconsin and, in fact, supported legislation introduced in 2023 to achieve just that, as well as Washington County Executive Josh Shoman. It's very interesting to me. I see both of those Republican candidates seemingly trying to warm up and kind of court the Trumpian-styled voter or Trump's supporters. And the question that occurs to me first, Dan, and we're going to have about 30 seconds, and of course we'll come back to this, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Is Trump's base still as solid as it's always been, or do Republican candidates run a risk as Donald Trump's approval ratings are literally as low as they've almost ever been? Dan, your quick thought. We'll come right back on the other side.
I think the base is eroding a little bit. His poll numbers are low, but we'll get into it after the break here.
We certainly will. Folks, you're not going to want to go anywhere. We're going to take some of your calls and thoughts. Text and phone lines are open. What do you think of the candidate slate so far? Are there any fence sitters that you think need to be in? 855-752-4842. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.